You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Well, this morning, let's talk about the power of prayer and fasting. Amen? The power of prayer and fasting. God is a good God. God likes to talk to us. He likes us to talk to Him. And one of the key ways to do that is through prayer. So this morning, if you open up your booklet, I just want to cover a few things just before we get into the message this morning. You know that fasting was something that was a discipline, not just in the Old Testament, it was a discipline within the New Testament as well. Jesus exemplified that himself. And then he actually also said that after he'd gone, that his disciples would fast also. And I just want to encourage every single one of you, if you have maybe not stepped into, because, oh no, that's like an old thing. No, it's a very real thing, and it's a very current thing, exemplified to us by Jesus himself. Fasting. Why do we fast? There's a couple of reasons we fast. One of them is because Jesus did it. And if it was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us. Amen? That's good for me. Fasting can also help restore our first love. Maybe you've gone through a bit of a season and you're struggling a little bit. It's just like, I love Jesus, but some other things have crept in. Fasting can actually help you get back to that place. Fasting is an unbelievable way to humble yourself. Some of you are like, yeah, you need to fast more, Pastor. No, fasting is an unbelievable way to humble yourself. Fasting enables the work of the Holy Spirit in us to another phase for us. Fasting also helps transform our prayer life. It actually brings us to a place where we're like, Lord, help this be over so that I can actually eat again. Transform your prayer life through fasting. Fasting can also actually help us to develop a spirit of revival within us. Prayer and fasting helps revive our spirit so that we actually want to see that outwardly happen to those around us as well. I just want to encourage you this morning. So you're probably thinking, why aren't you going to read any more from the booklet? I made you put your hands up and made you think you needed it this morning because I want you to take it home with you. There's some really important information for the next 3 weeks in here. Every single prayer point that we're going to be praying for daily is in this booklet. So if you leave without it, you're going to be praying for the fast to end quickly rather than praying for the prayer points. Amen? All right, I want to give you some background this morning. We talk about the power of prayer and fasting. I want to give you some background on Daniel. Daniel was somewhat of a prophet, knew how to interpret God, knew how to interpret signs and wonders, but I want to give you some background on Daniel. You know, Jerusalem had just been besieged, had been captured. King Nebuchadnezzar, can we call him Neb from now on? He took the holy things from the temple of Jerusalem back to Babylon. And he decided that he wanted to take back to Babylon some of the royal descendants from Jerusalem also. This was the criteria for the royal descendants that Nebuchadnezzar wanted to take back. They had to be strong, good-looking, healthy. I'm not seeing much equality here. This is like you have to be pretty and good-looking and you have to be amazing. Had to be healthy, had to be well-versed in every branch of learning, gifted with knowledge and good judgment. How many of us are making it onto this list this morning? It gets better. It gets better. Everyone's hands should have gone up. Everyone's hand should have got up this morning. What else did they have to be? They had to be well suited to serve in a royal palace. And these young men were going to be trained in languages and all the literature of Babylon. And the king fed them and trained them for 3 years of service so that they could actually come into the royal household and be of service. Let's just clear something up this morning. If you're a king and you're going to invade a country or a people group, Jerusalem and the children of Israel should not be at the top of your list. If you've read anything in the Bible, anybody who ever does it it ends up being their worst case scenario. Their world comes undone. Let's just clear that up before we actually get onto the rest of the story. So Daniel, the king's chief, chief of staff, chose four men: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And the chief of staff decided that he would rename them, so it felt a little bit more like they were from Babylon. Daniel, his new name was Belshazzar. Hananiah was called Shadrach. Mishael was called Meshach, and Azariah was called Abednego. They were all given the king's food. They were all trained in all matters of the law, science, religion, wisdom, and all the skills that they could possibly be given from the royal kingdom. And I want to put this out there for each and every single one of us this morning. I'll say this, that a lifestyle of prayer and fasting gives space for dramatic character displays. Dramatic character displays. A lifestyle of prayer and fasting gives space for dramatic character displays. My first point this morning is prayer and fasting sharpens character. Prayer and fasting sharpens character. You know, in Daniel 1 verse 8, this is what it says. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies. If you remember back to one of my messages towards the end of last year, he purposed in his heart, not in his mind, not where all the process happens on a daily basis, in his heart, the very core of who he is and was. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested to the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. As you can imagine, that didn't go down very well. He's like, I can't do this because you're going to look weaker. When I present you to the king, you're going to look weak. You're going to look pale in your face. And Daniel's like, let me tell you, how about we do a test? I'm going to eat these vegetables and these other foods. I'm not going to eat from the king's meat and all the rich. Why didn't he want to eat that meat? Most probably, if you look through all the different sort of people who have studied this in depth and detail, most probably because it was unclean meat. Most probably because it was a pig. Most probably because it was something like that. For those of you know that in Jewish tradition, you can't eat unclean meat. So we see this, we see Daniel, and as we kick into this, you begin to see that Daniel had a lifestyle of prayer. And because of Daniel's lifestyle of prayer, it had cultivated in his heart of hearts a sharp character. And he was not going to give in his heart of hearts. He was not going to come under and let unclean things into his body or his spirit. And I want to encourage each and every single one of us today. It's not what you can say yes to. It's what your sharpened and developed character has the ability to say no to. You might be able to say yes to lots of things, but can your sharpened character, when the rubber hits the road, when it gets real hot, when the pressure's on, can you say no from your heart of hearts? Not from here. If they ask one more time, I'm probably going to say yes. If they ask three more times, in your heart of hearts, can you say no when it's important, when it matters? Dramatic character displays. Dramatic character displays. We catch this glimpse of Daniel, who's had a revelation of God, had a revelation of God's power, has an understanding of right and wrong, has an understanding of what the Bible says, has an understanding of what was given to his people. And he, like us, has choices to make. We heard last week that How many thousands of choices do we make? 25,000 choices? 30,000? Wow. It's a lot of choices to make every day. He, like us, has lots of choices to make. Go with keeping everything calm and not ruffling feathers. Go with what people are telling him that he has to do. Or at all odds, follow what the Bible teaches us to do. with godly spiritual wisdom that's been acquired through prayer and fasting and studying the word and the impartation of the Holy Spirit that God's given to us? Does his character that's been sharpened stand for truth? We catch this picture of him standing resolutely, resolving in his heart of hearts for truth. This is a dramatic character display. It's made possible for a normal human being. Daniel's just a normal human being, but his character has been sharpened by God, his word, and prayer and fasting. Amen. And this is what it says in Daniel 1, verse 17 through to 20. It says this: God gave these four men an unusual aptitude for understanding every aspect of literature and wisdom. Now, for some of you, you might think, well, why was he willing to subject himself to study all of their religious teaching and all of their sorcery things? And why would he do that? You know, it's one thing to understand the opposition, but it's another thing to partake of the opposition. He refused to let those unclean things come into him, but he was more than happy to study it because he knew that God had had him in a place, had him in a space where he needed to be that beacon of light. We talked about that at the end of last year, amen. It's one thing to understand what's going on with friends and family and colleagues. It's one thing to understand the struggles that they're going through. It's another thing to go to the nightclub with them, amen. All those people over 30, don't go to nightclubs. And God gave Daniel the special ability to interpret the meanings and visions and dreams. When the training period ordered by the king was complete, the chief of staff brought all of the young men to King Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and no one impressed him as much as Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the royal service. No one impressed them. Out of all the different countries that Babylon had invaded, out of all the different countries where they brought royal descendants back from every single, no one impressed him as much. I want to encourage each and every single one of us, the same favor that was placed upon Daniel, the same favor that was placed upon the other three, the same favor is upon each and every single one of us. We are from the descendancy of that line of Jesus. Every single one of us has that same power within us, the same favor within the spaces that God has called us to. Your sharp, and I say this with power to your spirit this morning, your sharpened character will make a space for you to have influence that shines over others. So can it? Yes, it can. Prayer and fasting, sharpened character. God has you in a place and a space for him, for his glory. Amen. Point number two, prayer and fasting produces unbreakable character. It's one thing to have your character sharpened, but it has to be unbreakable. Not talking about our minds, our heart of hearts. Unbreakable character. You know, in chapter 3 of Daniel, we find three of the four royals, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The king has just built this giant idol, like huge, giant, golden idol. And he decrees that everybody who's a subject of his kingdom, regardless of their standing, every single person must bow before it. And these young men, they knew the scriptures. They read it. They read Exodus 20, verse 3, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." I'm sorry, but we're not bowing before it. To make matters more contentious, you know, we see this, a group of sorcerers who were actually in Babylon at the time. They were anti-Jewish people, and they dropped some extra seeds of discontent into the king by first of all praising him and then letting him know about the three who were refusing to actually bow down to this giant idol. The king was so enraged, like furious in rage. His face was disfigured in anger as he was told about this. So he decides that he's going to throw these three guys into the furnace. Not only is he going to throw them into the furnace, he said, "Can you please heat it up to 7 times hotter than we normally heat it up?" Things are getting hot. So discontent. with the favor that was on these three, that they got into the ear of the king. I want to encourage you in your workplace, family life, being out in the community. People are going to notice the favor that's upon your life, and they're not going to like it. They may get in the ear of your boss. They may get in the ear of colleagues. Can I encourage you? Don't bow down to it. And when I say don't bow down to it, I also mean don't get angry. Don't start calling them names in reply. No, no, you know who God's called you to be. You know who God's called you to bow down before. It's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you stand on the foundation of Jesus. It was so hot when it was heated up that two soldiers passed away just being near it. Just being near it. That's how hot it was. See, there are times in our lives where we're going to be asked to agree with an opinion or a popular political belief of the day. But you have to discern. You have to discern. How do we discern? Holy Spirit within us, prayer, fasting, being sharpened in our spirit. You have to discern. Do I side with this? If I side with this, will I be rejecting God and his word? Or do I have to walk this journey of perhaps feeling like the odd one out? I guarantee you that there's other people around you that will be inspired. You won't be the odd one out. You'll be the first one that goes, heads up, I'm sorry, I can't agree with that. I'm sorry, everything that God's shown me, everything that he's taught me through his word, I can't agree with that, I'm sorry. Even if it means things are going to get hot, even if it means that it could feel like a furnace type experience where everything just is blazing at you, everyone's attention is focused on you because you're refusing to bow down to opinions or beliefs. See, today the furnace may have changed, but it's still very real. It may not be a fiery furnace, but the furnace of opinion, the furnace of people's judgment is still a very real thing for each and every single one of us. The furnace may be trying to block you from where God's called you to be. The furnace for you this morning, maybe the furnace is the fact that you've been dodging the call of God in your life because you're like, it's just too hard, it's too hot. When I start to step into it, everything heats up. I'm dodging the call. Maybe the furnace for you today is the fact that the people around you, whenever you try to step into the things that God's got for you, there's this furnace of emotional manipulation and blackmail that comes to pass. You're like, I just can't deal with that anymore. I'm just going to remove myself. And it feels calmer, but on the inside of the heart of hearts, you're not joyful about what you're actually stepping in. Can I encourage you? Regardless of the furnace, regardless of what it feels like, there's still a call of God on each and every single one of our lives. The furnace may have changed, but God is still God, and we bow to no one except him. Amen. This was their reply. This is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This is their moment of resolve, their heart of hearts moment. Daniel 3, verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to defend ourselves before you. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, resolve moment. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue that you've set up. Your moment of resolve, popular political opinion, beliefs that are based on nothing, beliefs that are based on not even real science. Did he just mention science in church? Absolutely. God created it, amen? It's opinion and popular belief that try and manipulate things. And I just want to resolve this morning. We will not bow to those things. We will not bow to popular belief or opinion. The word of God. In fact, can I encourage you this morning? You don't even have to defend yourself to those things. The God I know is willing to save us from those things. But even if he doesn't, but even if he doesn't, I know that heaven is my home. Amen. But even if he doesn't, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is my Savior. Amen. God is a good God. This is what I love. They're thrown into the furnace. What happens while they're in the furnace? Daniel 3:25. Look, Nebuchadnezzar shouted. I see four men unbound, walking around in the fire unharmed, and the fourth looks like a god. The fourth looks like a god. Hello. Yes, it is. In the middle of their fiery furnace experience, God is with them personally. In the middle of your furnace experience, God is with you personally. In the middle of popular opinion, God is with you personally. In the middle of political changes, God is with you personally. You don't have to defend it. You don't have to stand up and say, hey, everybody, stop. God is with you. He is with you always. He will make a way. He will get people's attention. He will draw people to him. He will draw people to him. And he wants to use you and I to do it. Amen. Yeah. Amen. He wanted to draw Nebuchadnezzar towards him. Who did he use to do it? Wow. The three. It looked like their life was about to end. It may look like your life is about to end. It may look like your job is about to end. God will use your fiery furnace experience to draw people to him. Amen? But even if he doesn't, it's okay. God is with us always. In the middle of your furnace experience, God is with you personally. People who pray and fast and uphold the word of God, their character is unbreakable. Even if they themselves could be broken. That's the picture of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Unbreakable character, unbreakable spirit, even if their bodies, even if it looked like their bodies could be broken, amen. Daniel 3:28, then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hang on, what? You just said that we had to bow to you. No. I'm changing my mind. That was pretty powerful. And now we're going to worship the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent an angel to rescue his servants who trusted in him. They defied the king's command and were willing to die rather than serve or worship any god except their own. Therefore, I make this decree. If any people, whatever their race or nation or language, speak a word against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they'll be torn limb from limb and their houses turned into heaps of rubble. It's probably not the gracious God that we're familiar with. This is an ungodly king trying to catch a revelation of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But he finishes with this. There is no other God who can rescue like this. And that's the truth for each and every single one of us. There is no other God, our God, who can rescue like this. An unbelieving king can announce that. So as believers this morning, we shout it from the rooftops. There is no other who can rescue like this. Amen. It doesn't stop there. Verse 30. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to even higher positions in the province of Babylon. What looks like is going to end you, your fiery furnace experience, it looks like it's going to end you, will actually end up seeing you promoted to places that you never thought you'd touch. Amen. I believe it for you. In your family, in your workplace, I believe it for you today. Let's believe it together, amen. Let's believe it together. When your obedience and unbreakable character, God will eventually make a way for you. He will eventually make a way for you. May take some time, may take some heat, may take some fire, but with your unbreakable character, your heart of hearts resolve moment, he will make a way for you. Number three, as we're coming towards an end this morning, the character of prayer. the character of prayer. Daniel, he was doing so well. At this time, he was doing so well with his role within the government. So well that the king was going to place him to govern the entire kingdom. That's pretty significant. That's like, it's pretty much like the Queen of England saying, hey, you can take care of England for me. That'd be awesome. I don't know if I'd want to do that at this time in history, but that's okay. Craziness. See, the other administrators, the other people that he was working with at the time were unhappy that the king was actually about to announce that he was going to step into this role. They knew that there was nothing that they could do to trip him up. When it came to his job, he did everything with excellence. When it came to getting to work on time, he was there before time. When it came to leaving on time, he just hung around that little bit longer. When it came to, did the king need an extra coffee? He was like, king, can I get you a coffee? He was that guy. That guy. He did nothing mediocre. Did nothing mediocre. This is what I love about Daniel. His character, unquestionable. His execution, with distinction. Renowned. Written in the Word of God, renowned, how well he did it. And this is what his colleagues understood. Daniel 6, verse 5. Finally, these men said, we'll never find any basis for charges against this man unless it has something to do with the law of his God. They knew. Execution with distinction. Character, sharp and unbreakable. But they knew the only way they were going to trip him up was if they could find him doing something that was against the king's law that didn't stack up against God's law. Throughout the book of Daniel, people didn't come after these four because they did a bad job or they were mediocre in their skills. They came after them because they believed and lived out what was the only way that God had called them to live. That's why people came after them. They came after them to try and limit the favor that was upon their life. Came after them to try and stop them from stepping into the next space that God had called them to step into within that kingdom. See, God's favor was shining upon those four through the king of a nation. So can that happen? Absolutely. God will use men and women within your workplace, within your family, within your community group, where God will use others to shine God's favor on you. This is why they came after them. This is what it says in Daniel 6, verse 6. So the administrators and high officers went to the king and said, long live King Darius. I just want to encourage each and every single one of you. This is the same behavior that we saw with previous kings in the book of Daniel. Exactly the same behavior. Subjects praising and buttering up the king. If anyone comes to you and butters you up with compliments and praises you and then asks you to make a decision that affects others, it's time to pray. There's an ulterior motive. There's an ulterior motive here. It's like, long live King Darius. We love you so much. You are awesome. You're the best, King Darius. Same behavior. I want to encourage you, let the Spirit of God within you discern when those things happen around you. You will stop so many horrible and bad things happening if you actually stop that dead in its tracks. It's like you can butter me up. You can say that you want to be my best friend. But at the end of the day, you're asking me to make a decision that will bring terror and horror and trauma to this person's life? No. Heart of compassion and empathy beating in each and every single one of us for the people around us. They asked the king to get every person to pray to the king and no other for 30 days. Pray to King Darius. King Darius is the man. Let's pray to the king. Now you can imagine as a king, all of us, we're human beings. We have ego. It would have been nice to think, oh, everyone's going to pray to me for 30 days? Why not? That sounds like a great plan. My ego is 30 days of me time. 30 days of an entire nation praising me and lifting me up. This is going to be powerful. Tricked by alternative motives, ulterior motives. So the king signs the law. And if anyone broke that law, according to the decree that was written, if anyone broke that law, they get thrown into a lion's den. It's pretty terrible. Pretty terrible. Breaking that law, thrown into a lion's den. I imagine being the object of attention. The king probably didn't even read that part. You know, like when you update your phone and it's like, can you just read through this and then like accept it at the bottom? It would have been like at the top, everyone's going to worship the king. And then just like lines of small print. It's like, absolutely, this is going to be awesome. And your phone isn't backed up and all of your contacts are lost and the photos of your grandchildren are gone. Back up and read the small print. And this is Daniel's response. Daniel 6 verse 10. But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with its windows open towards Jerusalem. He had prayed three times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to God. You say, why are you reading this out? The character of prayer. Just as he had always done. As soon as he came to Babylon, found the upstairs room, found the window that pointed towards Jerusalem, opened the door and prayed three times a day. It's a lifestyle of prayer that we see in Daniel. Giving thanks to his God. He's been ripped away from his homeland. Ripped away from his people. Most of his relatives are probably dead by now. Or dispersed from the land which they actually once lived in. The character of prayer keeps going back to prayer. The character of prayer, when you've got the character of prayer in your heart of hearts, the character of prayer keeps going back to prayer. It's not by chance that Daniel found favor, that his character was sharp, that his wisdom and discernment was second to none. It's not by chance that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had unbreakable character and became targets for people trying to climb the royal ladder. It's not by chance. It's not by chance that Daniel was about to become the king's chosen right-hand person. It's because from the very beginning, they had exhibited a lifestyle and a pattern of prayer and fasting since before they encountered any opposition. It started back in Jerusalem. It didn't start when they were ripped away from their homeland and taken to Babylon. It started since before the opposition. I want to encourage you for each and every single one of us. Let's actually step into a time of prayer and fasting. Maybe you're like, you're so hot in prayer and fasting, and for you this is like awesome. Let's just like take it in. This is going to be so awesome. Maybe for some of you it's like, you know, I prayed when I accepted Jesus. It was powerful. That's okay. We have to start somewhere, amen. Maybe you pray once a day, every second day. Maybe it's once a week. Maybe it's a church on a Sunday. Why am I saying like this? No condemnation, no shame, no guilt. We're stepping into a month of prayer and fasting together. Maybe for you, during this month of prayer and fasting, the three times a day that you're going to pray, you're going to wake up, you're going to open up the booklet to day one, and for 1 minute, you're going to read the scripture and pray about that point for 1 minute. And then at lunchtime, you're going to open it up and you're going to read today's thing again, read the scripture and pray about it for 1 minute. And then you're going to get home and around 6 o'clock, you're going to open it up again and you're going to pray about it for 1 minute and read it again. If that's where you're starting for this 21 days, Let's start it together, amen. That sounds accessible. I think I could probably actually step into that. Absolutely. I don't want this to be such a weight on top of you that it's like, oh, I can't. It's so hard, I'm not even going to start. Now, let's just step into it with what God's called us to step into it. You know, maybe you're beyond that. Awesome. Can you inspire people around you? Awesome. Can you be an example of what it is to pray and fast for 21 days, looking happy and not crying? There's always something for us to actually get better in, step into in these things. See this, when we talk about those four young men, their preparation and their planning, it was a pattern. It was a pattern that they'd stepped into, they'd activated it previously. It wasn't like, oh, my world's falling apart, I guess I should pray. No, it was a pattern, a daily pattern. Just speaking to God, Him speaking, that sharpened, unbreakable character with the character of prayer. The point being for all of us today as we come to a close. You know, we start this year with the understanding. We fast and we pray, not to get God's attention, but so He completely has ours. Can I say that again? We fast and pray not to get God's attention. We've already got God's attention. We fast and we pray so that He completely has our attention. He completely has our attention. Empty ourselves of things. Empty ourselves of media, TV, drama, setting aside 21 days. 21 days. Say, God, You've got my attention. Speak to me. Speak to me about my family. Speak to me about my church. Speak to me about my workplace. Speak to me about the people around me who need breakthrough. Speak to me about the things that You want to develop in me, the very core of my heart, the character resolve that You're calling me into. Speak to me, God. We start the year of prayer and fasting to make sure that we're staying true to the preparation, the planning, and the patterns that men and women have committed to have gone before us. Daniel and his mates, they were just outworking the planning and the preparation of those who have gone before them also. We're walking in those ways too. We are those men and women today that will pass on the power of prayer and fasting to our children, because we're actually stepping into it today. This is no religious tradition. There is power in prayer and fasting. And if you're in a place where you need clear vision, if you're in a place where there are stubborn issues, stubborn oppositions towards you or your people, if you're being called into account for your belief and your godly practice, if you find yourself in a new place, if you're wanting to be reignited with passion, if you're needing to humble yourself, if you want the Holy Spirit to continue to transform you, if you want your prayer life to be richer and deeper and more personal, if you're seeking dynamic personal revival in your heart, prayer and fasting is where you start to be sharpened and become unbreakable, and the character of prayer develops in your life. I just want to encourage you, if there's anyone in this room who's stepping into a new job role this year, or stepping into a new relationship, stepping into becoming a parent for the first time, or an auntie or an uncle or a grandpa, grandma, stepping into new things, when you're thrust into new culture, prayer and fasting makes a way. I don't even know how I'm going to do this. I don't even know how to hold a baby. I don't know how to do this job. When you're thrust into new culture, prayer and fasting makes a way. When you're under pressure to conform, maybe you're in a place where your workplace is getting real rigid and restrictive with all the things that are happening at the moment. I want to encourage you, when you're under pressure to conform, prayer and fasting makes a way. Don't get up and try and fight it verbally. Prayer and fasting makes a way. When you're accused falsely, prayer and fasting makes a way. Maybe it's been a very real thing for you. Maybe it's a very real thing right now. Maybe in the workplace and family things that have gone over the Christmas period, you've been accused falsely of saying or doing or being. Prayer and fasting makes a way. When you're in the furnace of emotion and dysfunction, prayer and fasting makes a way. Why don't we close our eyes this morning? Holy Spirit. Lord God, I thank you for each and every single person in this place today. Thank you that we're stepping into this year together as a body. If you're at home this morning, watching online, listening, I just want to encourage you. We are stepping into this year together in prayer and fasting. Holy Spirit, I thank you that as we do that together, you are going to see amazing things come to pass, church. You are going to see amazing things come to pass in your life personally, in your family, in your community group, in the workspace that God has called you to, in the influence that he's called you to have. You are going to see amazing things begin to come to pass as you step into this year with a character, with a resolve of prayer and fasting. Oh God, I speak it into the heart of each and every single person. Let the resolve of unbreakable character, let the resolve of sharpened character, let the resolve of prayer and fasting be something in our heart of hearts. I prophesied into our hearts today. Holy Spirit, powerful encounters with the Holy Spirit, discernment beyond discernment. Holy Spirit, oh, let it be poured into our hearts today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, the Spirit of God, make a way. Let God make a way. Holy Spirit, we thank you, Father. We thank you, Jesus. Jesus, Holy Spirit. You know, if you're in this place today, just with our eyes closed, and you don't know Jesus yet, if you're watching online, listening online, and you don't know Jesus yet, it all starts with Jesus. Our character being renewed, our spirit being renewed, becoming sharp and unbreakable starts with Jesus taking residence in our life when we ask for forgiveness, when we ask for restoration with a God who loves us so deeply. You're just with your eyes closed today. If that's you and you're in this place and you don't know Jesus personally, I want to know his forgiveness. You know, Jesus died on a cross for the forgiveness of our sins, so that we could know God personally. If that's you, just with everyone's eyes closed, if that's you and you want to know him personally, want to be forgiven, I just want to invite you to lift up your hand. Once you've lifted your hand up, you can put it back down. Is there anyone that's want to say, yeah, that's me? If that's you, just pop your hand up, put it back down. I'm not going to embarrass you today, but I want you to have this opportunity to know your Redeemer, your Savior, to know God personally. Once you've put it up, you can put it down. Is there anyone that's wanting to say, yeah, I need to do that? Just so their eyes close this morning. You know, maybe you haven't put your hand up this morning, but you want to, but you're like, I can't do that. It's okay. Maybe you're watching online today, listening. We're going to pray a prayer together, asking Jesus, come into our heart, forgive us of our sin as we surrender our life before him. Ask forgiveness and repent of our sin and step into a beautiful relationship with God. Let's pray it together this morning, church. If you haven't prayed this before, or you have prayed a long time ago but you're walking your own way, maybe you've never prayed, I want to invite you to join us as we pray this prayer today. Lord Jesus, I come to you and I thank you. Thank you for dying on a cross for me. Thank you for making a way. Making a way for my forgiveness, making a way for relationship with God who loves me. Today, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life. Forgive me of my sins. I choose to follow you for all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. If you pray that prayer for the first time, pray it again because you're in a place where you say, I need to pray this prayer. I want to encourage you. Let today be your resolve moment. Resolve in your heart that you're going to follow Jesus with everything you've got. On the way out, there's some booklets that one of our hosts will hand you. Maybe you've never got one of those booklets. Maybe you have. It's okay. We've got plenty of them. And it talks about your first step. What do you do now? How do you be resourced to follow Jesus? What do I need to do as a Christian to follow Jesus with everything I've got? If you're watching online, you can go to gc.org.au/first steps. All the information is there for you to step into a relationship with Jesus.